I wrote somewhere that I thought social media is the cancer of the intellect.
There is a low trust in the news on social media. It's actually only 22% globally compared to traditional sources around 50%.
You have the God-given right to pound the keyboard and hit the delete key or the enter key. And therein is your effectiveness in social media.
Welcome to Influential Visions. Here we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. Here is your host, Nathaniel Schooler.
We are digging into a really interesting topic today, the human condition in the digital age, authenticity, connection, and disinformation. We're going to discuss this with Stephen J. Manning. Many of us are anxious, overwhelmed, and actually easily triggered right now. And this has been going on for quite a while. In this digital age, many of us are silently battling emotional chaos. And due to social media, we are comparing our lives to online perfection and feeling disconnected. Despite constant connection, algorithms fuel this painful struggle, hijacking our peace and eroding our authenticity. And it's actually quite shocking when you look at the statistics. The overall negative perception of social media, 64% of Americans believe social media has a mostly negative effect on the country. So yeah, I'm looking forward to digging into this this very important topic with you, Stephen.
Important it is, in as much as it's a very, very, very significant driver in society today, in many different ways. I think the statistics you quoted are specious. The same people who dislike it are users. And the same, some of the loudest critics are addicted to it. It's certainly easy to, you have the God-given right to pound the keyboard and hit the delete key or the enter key. And therein is your effectiveness in social media. Excuse me. Going back just a little bit, some time ago, I don't recall, it had to be 10 years ago, I wrote somewhere that I thought social media is the cancer of the intellect. Now, what that got for me was some raised eyebrows, and I later found out that Facebook blocked me from an account I didn't know I had. Somebody on my staff created an account for me, and Facebook thought they should block me, which just goes to show that those people do not have a sense of humor. But, thinking broadly, think about the fireside thing we just did, where I said, first of all, as long as you have social media, you don't have to read, you don't have to listen, you don't have to talk, and you certainly don't have to learn and study, because you can get that really nasty, provocative, whatever clip on X, And my point was, and I think I'd like to repeat it with your kind permission, is I said that Rene Descartes finally died. Now, I say that, and you'll forgive me, knowing that 99.9% of people don't know who Rene Descartes was. But a significant percentage of people have heard his most famous line, I think, therefore I am. Actually, the dude was supercilious and wrote it in Latin, cognito ergo sum. But I think he's dead on account of social media. And I think that I some time ago asked someone to do some research into who and how many people read posts on Facebook. Because I've had former relationships with otherwise what I thought was reasonably smart people who wanted to have a relationship on Facebook. I'd like you to be my friend and we should communicate through Facebook. Say what? as long as this thing is ticking at a reasonable rate, as long as Descartes still lives in my brain, how about we have a 3-minute chat? And then somewhat recently, a man I know, a couple, they're really accomplished people. Facebook is a way of life. It's how they communicate, how they interrelate, and how they work together, if you will, with family. They have 3 grown adult children, very successful families, and they know that Robbie fell down and cracked his skull, had 12 stitches. That would be grandchild number 1, who is in high school, because they posted it on Facebook. You mean your kid didn't call you to tell you your grandchild, damn, they're bled to death at Cedar Sinai 2 days ago? Almost died. Well, I posted it on Facebook. See, I believe that somewhere around 99% of the posts on Facebook are read by exactly one person. The person posted it. And occasionally family members because, and you know what, last night at dinner I asked my wife, I'd love to see a picture of my friend Bob's kid. Kid, he's 37. Haven't seen the kid in 20 years. Facebook, oh good God. So we actually went to Facebook the first time in forever. I then also said that people post on Facebook. Ooh, I can see my name and some drivel I put there. Therefore, I exist and I'm relevant. Really? Okay. Well, you know, in other words, you have a login, a password, you have a keyboard. You can put some insipid something on there. Instagram. If I get one more cute thing on Instagram, I will get violent. I have friends that live on Instagram.
Steve, I've got to interrupt you there. That's actually very important what you just said. There is a low trust in the news on social media. It's actually only 22% globally compared to traditional sources around 50%. So basically, according to University of Oxford's Reuters Institute, it reflects the disinformation concerns, but people prefer traditional news. And I find that quite worrying when we see how biased traditional news are, especially in England. I mean, certainly also in America, it is deeply, deeply worrying. That's why I like X, because actually I can go to X and I can search and I can look for something specific, and then I can look at all the comments and I can do my research, and then I can find not just opinion, but I can find facts that support that opinion. And it's very worrying how people are so triggered by social media, and actually that young people spending over 2 hours a day on social media are more likely to report poor mental health, right? So the benefits of reducing social media to 30 minutes per day significantly improved well-being, depression, and loneliness.
Well, I think it's more than that. Well, to some extent, Nathaniel, the dissatisfaction with social media, distrust. I happen to believe that most people are angered by the fact that they don't have 3 million followers. And so it's like, I guess I'm not relevant, but they keep pounding, because you never know when that errant, insipid thought catches on and you become a celebrity for your 5 minutes or 15 minutes. By the way, a comment on news media, distrust, and so on. In America, we don't have nuantically different news outlets. No longer exists. They're dramatically, cataclysmically different. This segment pushes that agenda. This segment pushes the alternate agenda. And they're looking to draw blood. Intellectual blood, which doesn't exist, but emotional blood, which ultimately, unfortunately, actually metastasized to real blood on the streets. Real violence, real blood, and all of that. One other thing you said that just now that was, I think it's quite relevant, is one of the segments that was in Monday Influencer recently on work-life balance, which is a massive topic that we addressed over and over again. One of the tools that was in there front and center was social media, meaning if you're going to strike a real work-life balance, this is work, this is non-work, other stuff. You need to work as traditional work is. For example, if you're a writer, you take a shower, get dressed, go to over there and write from 9 to 10, 9 to 11, take a coffee break, 15 minutes, write till 12:30, take a lunch break, take another coffee break, write till 6 or 7. We urge that during that entire work day, whether you're laying bricks or writing or working another way to manage nuclear fusion, social media is a zero for a work day. Reduce your social media use by 75%, 100% during the work day. You know, one of my pet peeves is sit in a meeting, go to dinner. If anyone picks up the mobile device and do this, that's a complete disconnect for me. I don't know anybody that important that they must be tethered to the thing 100% of the time. And when 50% of the text messages you get are lovely, cute stuff on Instagram, I am not your dinner or meeting companion. And yes, you have heard this too many times. I have taken people's phones and drowned them in my diet soda when we're in a very, very important, contentious meeting that affected the lives of a lot of people in business. That just doesn't work for me. And you know what? I'm amazed. I also believe that 90%, 95% of people that are on TikTok, they can spell TikTok, therefore they are creative. Think about it. I mean, really. Now, people sit for hours and look at Instagram cute stuff. Hey, I love cute children doing cute things as much, if not more, than most people. Lovely, adorable puppies pull at my heartstrings. But that doesn't drive my life. My life, hopefully, is driven by creativity and driven by an endless pursuit of coming up with something independent thought. I don't get that on social media, you know. And again, in my humble opinion, social media is cancer of the intellect. I am stunned by the 5, 6, 7, 8 reach outs I get every day to join someone on LinkedIn. We should connect. The response to that when one of those interests me is, glad to let me know what our commonalities or interests are that we can pursue together. 9 out of 10, no response. The other said, just want the connection. My God, you now have 312, so 311, therefore you're much more relevant.
But it's funny, isn't it? When we have contentious conversations with people. I mean, what happened to me? I'll tell you what happened to me. I posted, so there's this, I wouldn't call him an activist. I suppose he calls himself a citizen journalist within the UK. He's called Tommy Robinson. And a lot of people don't like him because they think he's a racist. Okay. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not even going to say what I think about the guy because that's irrelevant. But I actually posted the fact that he came out of jail the other day. I posted it on LinkedIn, and LinkedIn actually cancelled the comments on that post. So I posted Tommy Robinson, he's out of jail, shared a little bit of information of both sides of the story. And LinkedIn actually turned off comments for that post automatically based upon obviously the censorship that is actually occurring, because all my posts have that turned on automatically. I find that very interesting. Then I had two people, or more actually than two people, I had a few people reach out to me and say, this looks bad. What are you posting about this guy for? Da-da-da-da-da. One guy insulted me personally. I'm not going to read out what he said, but he insulted me personally. And I actually sent him a message. I said, never contact me again. And I blocked him. But it's interesting because actually on Facebook, I had a conversation on Facebook with some of my friends. I had one of my oldest friends, right? Don't see the guy very often. Probably haven't seen him for 20 years, but he said, "You're better than that. What are you posting about this guy for?" Da, 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 da. And then he went on to quote numerous news organizations, mainstream news, that basically were completely against this guy and his point of view. And then I had a number of other friends of mine comment on there. Some of them were pro, some of them were against. One of them actually commented about the state of England at the moment and how it's actually extremely bad in terms of how things are going there. I'm not going to dig into that too much in this conversation, but it is shocking how people can actually have a go at you personally in your direct messages or publicly. And they would never even dream about saying that to you face to face because they know what would happen, right? And it's, I find it quite worrying, really, if I'm brutal.
Well, you know, as you know, I'm big on having conversations. Perhaps it's just that I'm old fashioned, but, you know, a couple million miles and a few tens of billions of dollars of commerce, you learn a few things. We talk and write endlessly about selling. Everything we do is intended to provoke an action from someone else or provoke an outcome. For a guy that's outspoken and I don't police my mouth particularly well, I will tell you that there's 100 or 200 whatever times where I would reach out and say, look, we have to talk. No, I'd rather do it by email, or how about you go to my page and we'll post. See ya, not interested in talking to you, because the sound you hear is dead gray cells hitting the ground. But how many times have I gotten on an airplane, traveled across country to sit down and have a cup of coffee with somebody who became contentious otherwise? Why? It's very hard to say no in person, particularly if you comport yourself properly. You approach someone and say, look, whatever we did went wrong. I take responsibility for my stuff. This is what I think I did wrong. I'd like to talk about it. I'm willing to spend my hard-earned money and sit on a red eye for 5-6 hours tonight and meet you at Kennedy Airport in the morning for a cup of coffee. Let's have a conversation. The rate of success of the face-to-face conversation in contentious situations is exceptional. It's exceptionally bad when it's not face-to-face. It's very hard to say no to someone face-to-face, particularly if they present themselves and explain their position. Look, man, I'm just like you. I have arms and legs. I have a mortgage. I have kids. I have a job to do, and this is what my issues are. Absent robbing a bank, I can't pay you what you want for that, but we need it. How do we come to an understanding? And then you find commonalities of interests, which are almost always present if you dig deep enough. Your worst adversary, and you have commonalities of interests, if you're willing to discuss them. Social media, I mean, I go back to this great family, and they know the kid broke his head because it was posted on Facebook. I mean, talk about degradation of human relationships. You know, it's interesting how people are triggered, and they are triggered in masses. Part of the trigger mechanism is that you're reading something that it's not you, it's incensing. And then the person who posted it has 1.2 million followers. You don't. So the question is, what are you going to do about it? and then you feel impotent. I can't, there's nothing I can do about it. Because if I put a yes or a no or a comment, it's irrelevant. Nobody's going to read it except my wife and perhaps one of my kids on a moment of goodwill. And then I'm enraged because I feel impotent. I can't impact the thing. And then I stew over it until I find something else to be upset about. So I think part of that is it creates, you know, I go back to the very beginning of the internet, Nathaniel. We were very early on. I think we were the ninth people at the backbone of the internet. And it was so amazing. I had an email address. Goody. I didn't know anybody else who had one. And then I remember when the kids at Champaign came up with AltaVista, a graphic user interface. Ooh, a browser. I remember when Philip bought me one of those little machines for $800 so I could find out what Chinese restaurant I'm going to eat in New York day after tomorrow. Not like I could, but, and then everyone I knew, with the exception of great geek community and the Uber brains that I learned from, everyone felt that they were a roadkill on the information superhighway. They were just irrelevant. Accomplished people. Today, accomplished people feel absolutely impotent because social media is a sphere they have no impact on at all. I had a great chat with a gentleman. His PhD is from Harvard. We'll forgive him for that. And he is a speaker worldwide, number of languages published. He is a phenomenal coach, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I am genuinely impressed by this man. I will get on an airplane, travel across country for he and I to take a walk in the woods near his house. Because it being presence of greatness is one of the great pleasures you and I have. And for those of you watching, listening to this, we've had the great pleasure to be in the presence of greatness. Nathaniel here has interviewed many people who are truly the elite. And this guy said, but you know, there's one thing I don't do. Never mind the Pulitzer. There's one thing I don't do. Social media. Mm-mm. No, I don't have a Facebook account. I don't have a Instagram. That's silly stuff. And by the way, I have people ask me, how come? And to quote him, life is too short for that kind of intellectual mind bend. I'm going to try to work on that for a while. But he is not the only one I know who just rejects it entirely. And it's not they don't, to the point they don't dabble, because it's angering for them. It makes them angry. You know, I see stuff that but for the grace of God, I'm not there with a baseball bat to beat the guy over the head. But, you know, one of the things that I have to remind myself that some of those people are just basically stupid. Sorry, stupid. And I note the certainty that when you take a stupid person and beat them up for being stupid, you end up with a beaten up stupid person. So forget it. Waste of time. How about I write something that I think is relevant to some people? Hopefully it is. Anyway.
But it's fascinating, isn't it? When you go back to 50 years ago, 1975, so a little bit before I was born, right? And you look at...
You do know that upsets me greatly, right?
Well, 50 years, it's a long time. Five decades,
My good friend, I have attitudes older than your age.
Ah, classic. Well, my father's much older than you, so let's not worry
God bless
about
him.
That. But it's bless him. But it's interesting, isn't it? When you think about the internet and how, you know, access to these diverse perspectives and obviously and also news was print, radio, or you might get a phone call. If you were really important, you might get a phone call from someone who was informed. They'd call you and say, hey, this is what's going down, and if you're thinking of going to, I don't know, South Africa or somewhere like that, don't go there now because there's a blah, blah is happening and you might get in trouble, right? But the problem is that each iteration over the last 50 years, each technological advancement has created more and more information overload, or should I say disinformation overload. And it's eroded a lot of authenticity, created much shallower connections in many cases. And it's quite worrying, really, where we are right now. When you think that people can go out for a cup of coffee, and they can literally just freak out, like, just because they're so on the edge of where they perhaps would have been 10 years ago or 20, 30 years ago, because actually things moved slower in those times. Things were calmer, right? Even 5 years, even 10 years ago, things were a lot slower. Now, people can send you a message immediately. You receive it immediately. You can literally just freak out over the smallest
and you
things.
Don't even have to interpret it. You can just stick it into Gemini or someplace.
Well, exactly.
What does this mean?
Exactly. But what I think here is that people are actually, the reason they are triggered by these small little things is because actually they are really unhappy in their lives, and they don't want to face up to the facts that they are really unhappy in their lives. So I look at it like a bit like a pressure cooker, right? And the higher up you get with the pressure, with the stress, with the dissatisfaction, and all of these things, your emotions are running hot, right? They're running like Latino, yeah. And sorry if you're Latino, but you know, you get my meaning. And people, because they're unhappy in their lives, they need to displace this anger onto petty things so that they can have an emotional shortcut. This is what I was thinking about earlier when I had a conversation with Gemini, which I know you hate. I know you hate me talking to Gemini, but I found it quite eye-opening.
Well, I'm glad that you have this intimate relationship with the box in Lincoln, Nebraska, or in Wichita Falls, Kansas, or somewhere in Zimbabwe. I do too, but my focus is entirely different. Pure research, so I don't get lost in my ridiculous quest for meaningless information. I don't Google anything because I just get lost for days. I try to find out why there are 9 shades of red in the book. And I'm finding out why mussels in New Zealand are green. So that's a silly thing. But, you know, so much all day long, you're bombarded with all these tools, all these things that are going to make you happy if, in fact, you invest your money and time in them, particularly money. Because doesn't everybody else have that? And, of course, we have, certainly here in America, we have cultivated entire classes of victocrats. These are professional victims. These are people who are owed rather than earners. I am owed. Why? Oh, you guys are so lucky. You have a nice house, drive nice cars. You guys are lucky. Okay, us guys, my wife and I, went to work when we were 15. And as I never made a dime, I didn't earn at least twice. And what's the key to your success? And you know what? I can come up with 15,000-20,000 words in a hurry and talk about pillars of success, talk about philosophies of life and all that great stuff. And I look at somebody and say, you know, it's really simple. It's you get up before everyone else gets up in the morning. You outwork everyone else. You never say no to work. You try to outthink everyone else, but certainly try to outwork them. Do that for 25 straight years. Do not take a vacation, and then it's easy. Nothing to it. Now, of course, we live in an amazing world here. I mean, there's never been a time in history where you have more opportunity for success than it is today in the United States of America for a couple of different reasons. First, the tools are there. And secondly, most people in this country are no longer willing to work that hard. They're just not. Your advantage is that you can, in fact, outwork everyone else. You know, America, the land of opportunity, it is. There's nowhere else in the world you're going to work this hard to accomplish it. But if you're willing to do it, bingo. Now, people are triggered by the fact that somebody else has an opinion. Seriously. Opinions are like, well, I'm going to clean this up. Opinions are like elbows. Everyone has one. Okay? So, now, you want to engage? Fine. Right. Engage. Make posts. Understand that you're shouting into a tornado. It's fine. It's fine. It beats sticking needles in your arm for sure. And you know what? When you do that, the benefit of social media, ultimately, to me, is that enough people, when they do want to write that post, they want to vent that anger, they want to offer a critical opinion, that stuff actually may, in fact, expand their brains. Now, they may expand them in the wrong places. Oh, you are now a much worse racist than you were before. You are now a hardcore anti-Semite instead of just a hater. And you are now dumber than you were, but you're thinking about being dumb. I think to some extent it does expand the overall machine, the intellect. So to that extent, I think it's a good thing. But to live on Facebook, you're an idiot. The sun will rise on the east in the morning, no matter what you do. How about looking at the world around you differently and participate? When you get triggered, okay, don't go burn down somebody else's house. Try to build a better house for yourself. Okay? Think about that. Oh, you know, I told you about this. I lost one of my old friendships in one little conversation. This is an educated guy, successful, top-level guy in one of the big three networks. And one morning, I was really upset about something that was happening on the Ivory Coast. Now, speaking of news, hey, hello, you want to get triggered and you want to deal with it? How about 10 minutes in the morning, look at AP, understand they're really bad, Reuters. And then Global Post, wow. You want to learn about the world? Read the Global Post every morning. It's phenomenal. And then Victor Davis Hanson has his own little bloggy thing. If you don't read that, we have a disconnect. On and on and on. But do that. And then I was upset about something was happening in Ivory Coast. People are dying. And I expressed that at dinner with my friend and wives and so on. And the man gave me one of his, yeah, that's bad. And I said, say that again. Yeah, that's bad. Not good. I said, is that what you, yeah, it's not bad, it's bad. And I said, I am really messed up by this. The image of those children being slaughtered, I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to sleep. And he said, well, it's bad. And is that how, that's it? That's it. How come you're not incensed? And the answer was, there's nothing I can do about it, so why bother? I then responded, lose my phone number, and walked out at dinner. And the highlight of that was I stuck him with a bill and I never talked to him again. Now, there's the triggering. Okay, fine. Think about how you can impact that little world. I can't impact anything. I don't know how to tell you this, but if everybody felt the same way, charities would collapse. Okay, so, you know what, cough up to $10. You are contributing. Your trigger mechanism just created a good thing. Write a note. You know what, write that email to how you feel and send it. Spend the hour to figure out who to send it to. Do it. That's a great response to the triggers. Other than, I'm going to go burn down your house. Now, how about, don't burn down the other guy's house. Build a better one for yourself. That may be just here, maybe here, you know. Hey, man, God gave you this. See, I think God created this, not just Steve Jobs, you know.
It's important to also to talk about the algorithms that actually trigger these things. And what I mean by the algorithms that trigger these things is when you are in an ecosystem, you're in a closed environment which amplifies everything. Mm-hmm. And also it shows you what you want to see. So for example, if you like a lot of posts about a specific topic, it's going to show you posts about that topic. If you want to talk about politics, it's going to show you more politics posts, which are then going to trigger you, because actually everyone gets triggered by political posts if they don't agree with the opposite opinion. But I find this world that we live in actually very interesting, because there are a handful of people, mostly people that I speak to, thank God, who are enlightened. They are wise. They're wise to a lot of these funded operations that are moving people around the world, as one example, that are encouraging unnecessary migration of people to different countries. There are so many of these topics, and everyone has an opinion about these topics. But actually, what I like about it is I like to have a conversation, and I like to dig into what these people think about these things, because that gives me public opinion. Small public opinion, because it's people that I know personally, some of them. But I find it very interesting. That's why I post some of these things. So actually people can have a go at me or have a go at the topic, because if they have a go at me and I don't like the way that they've engaged with me, I just block them and never speak to them again, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that now. But I do think that it's important to discuss opposing opinions to our own, and that's what we should be doing here, instead of pushing the block button and being stuck in this ecosystem that encourages us to listen to the same opinions that we actually have ourselves.
Oh, I you know, listen, none of us are an island, you know, by ourselves here. And I mean, God forgive me, because my quote, people like Khrushchev, you know, it's like, even I cringe, but, you know, peaceful coexistence is necessary. Otherwise, we're just going to slaughter each other, mindless. Now, the only problem with that is your ability to have someone adopt your way of thinking, or rather than, well, hopefully just consider it. But today, the world's way too loud, way too shrieky. We no longer have an exchange of opposing ideas. We go from, I feel this, you feel that, I think this, you feel that, to mortal combat. In America, that's absolutely true. You know, in mortal combat at every level, mortal combat between grade school kids and their teachers, the parents and the teachers, and escalate that to, oh, my God. And then we have this body here called the Congress. Oh my God. Can we just like get rid of the U.S. Congress and get a bunch of, you know, smart kids to do that stuff? You know, that's a very long other conversation. But you're right. You engaging other people is just a fun thing to do. You know, it's like, what a great conversation. You know, I learned from every conversation I have. Notwithstanding the fact that I do feel homicidal at the time, but I learn from every conversation I have, you know, but I seek to learn from every conversation I have. I don't walk in there and say, no, let me show you how smart I am. Rather, show me how smart you are. I'd love to learn, you know, and sometimes you learn really relevant things from the worst adversary and from the morally opposing, and from the intellectually opposite. It's a wonderful thing. You have the good fortune to interview smart people. You may not like what they have to say, but you have to admit that's smart stuff, at least from conceptually it is.
One's brain, oh, yeah, with very interesting information. And I mean, I've interviewed all sorts of people, including yourself, who I'm very blessed to have that opportunity.
I am blessed to be interviewed.
but, you know, it's a shame my sunlight, I haven't actually quite got my blinds sorted out here, because I've got this picture here of Wimbledon in the background here. And they gave this to me in 2018 when IBM took me around the basement tour of Wimbledon, and they took me to all the scoring areas and gave me afternoon tea and some champagne and strawberries and all this great corporate hospitality. It was absolutely brilliant. It was actually the day before my birthday, so they made it even better because they knew my birthday obviously was coming up the day after, and they took me there and they gave me this poster, and now it's the first time I've hung it on the wall, and it's unfortunate you can't see it very well, but actually it's a mosaic of 8,400 images that are stuck together to create a picture of Wimbledon, of a pitch, and actually a tennis game, which I find fascinatingly interesting. When we're at a place now where we can create these things in the space of, how many years is that? We're 2025 now. So in around 7 years, we've gone from being able to create something at the click of a button, which an AI pulls together all these images, to now being able to create videos, fake videos of people talking about all sorts of things. So we are at a point now where we have to be even more controlled with our emotions. And we should be having more and more of these conversations with people publicly, so that we can learn how to behave, and actually we can learn how to conduct ourselves so that we don't get triggered. And if we are triggered, we need to turn around and go, well, why am I triggered here? What was it that person said to me that made me trigger, that made me get angry, that made me feel stressed and annoyed and everything else? If they are having a go at you personally and attacking you personally, then I believe they should literally, you should just get rid of them. That's my personal opinion. And anyone that has a go at me personally, I will block you.
I have a dubious distinction of having been blocked by Facebook, which maybe I should get a sticker. Hey, my long deceased father might be very proud of me. I got blocked by Facebook. It's a biggie. But look, I don't worry about relationships online and being blocked and all of that, because I'm not a social butterfly online. I have an account on LinkedIn, which I appear to have 700 or 800 followers. I accept the fact I actually said okay rather than ignore. And what does that do for me? I make some posts on LinkedIn, prompted by some people I know. And sometimes I do it for fun, and sometimes I do it because it's a good idea in context of Monday influencers, some other things I do, some other broadcasts that we make, and speeches we give and writings and so on. I just think that it's phenomenal, again, to be engaged and not engaged at the same time. And the part about being triggered by that, phenomenal. Hey, I get triggered by stuff I read all the time. You know, I get triggered, but my weapon is I write something. Now, I just happened, was on the nationally syndicated radio show for 11 minutes a week ago, Thursday or Wednesday. It just happened. I happened to be listening, and I called in, and a host, and okay, so rather than a minute, a minute 20, I was talking about, I was on there for 11 minutes. Now, my basic premise was it had to do with anti-Semitism, the murders in Washington. How do people feel? Are we scared of stuff that's happening around us? How do you comport yourself differently because you're at risk and all that? And I started out by saying, you know, I used to truly believe that the sword, that the pen is mightier than the sword. Now, the sword is ever present, whether it's banners screaming, attacking, mace, smoke bombs, fire, whatever the heck it is, it's how people want to get their ideas across. Yesterday, MIT had graduation ceremonies. The head of the student body hijacked the entire proceeding with a many, many minutes long rant, anti-Semitic rant, anti-Zionist rant, anti-Israel rant, anti-America rant. And I hope you'll have to forgive me. I hope that all the employers in America know this person's name, because I certainly wouldn't want that toxic cancer as an employee, but different story. But going back to the original point here, I think that the triggers, you know, what I said in that long thing was that, listen, I used to think the pen is mightier than the sword. I'm not sure next time I see a demonstration that I agree with, disagree with, I may just show up and stand on the street. And hopefully I'm not going to be yelling insipid crap. But once you join the crowd, you are going to be subjected to insipid crap, and you will start yelling insipid crap. So I will go back to writing a note or an email to the CEO of that company, to my congressman or to my senator, understanding that with some rare exceptions, I'll get nothing back or thank you for your interest. I've done that with a couple of presidents, shockingly. Bill Clinton was the only one who thought enough to write me a handwritten note. And my email was nasty, without a doubt. That's something about that. But hey, I get triggered. I'm more likely to call you in the middle of the night and talk to you about it than go out on the street and do something stupid. But I will write something because that's my personal outlet. I encourage everyone to do that, because it's a burden. Being triggered is a terrible burden, because you feel, again, you feel impotent. Nothing I can do about it. Tell you what, how about you write a check or whip out your credit card and donate $10 to that cause? You will feel worthy. You have done something. Instead of sitting there on the couch in your underwear, angry, triggered. Oh, good. What's the point of being angry at someone who doesn't know you're angry at them? Do something. Engage. Even a little bit. Because if people didn't engage with that $1, $5, or $10, most charities would just collapse. Because there's 3 million people at $5 a pop. Now, that feeds a lot of kids. That does a lot of good. But if everybody felt like nothing, I can't do anything about it, that charity would collapse. So that's just a thought and an urging from me.
Well, thank you. I mean, I think just to sort of end, I mean, if you are one of these skim readers, if you're one of these people that just reads the headline, you're listening to this, you just read headlines and you comment and you love to share your opinion about what you think, how about you perhaps read the rest of the content before you actually post a comment? Is kind of my final thought on this. And it's always a pleasure. Appreciate everyone listening. And do go to MondayInfluencer.com and ponder the question, yeah? If you are triggered like this, if you are overwhelmed by your life not being as you want it to be, why don't you do something about it? Why don't you take some action? Why don't you join MondayInfluencer.com, sign up, and then you will get the pleasure of educating yourself beyond where you are now to achieve the success and happiness that you want.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.